முகம் குருதி பாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்காயதி கிரிம் யத் கிருபா தமஹம் வந்தி பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஐ சல்யூட் கிருஷ்ணா, தி எம்பாடிமெண்ட் ஆஃப் சுப்ரீம் பிளிஸ், த்ரூ ஹூஸ் கிரேஸ் த லேம் ஸ்கேல் மவுண்டன் அண்ட் த டாம் பிகம் எலோக்வெண்ட். மீ கிருஷ்ணா, வி தி கைட் ஆஃப் அவர் லைஃப். ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. பீஸ் பீஸ் பீஸ். பகவத்கீதா சாப்டர் 10, டிவைன் மேனிஃபெஸ்டேஷன்ஸ். As I told you many times, Bhagavad Gita is called Moksha Shastra, a scripture which helps a person to attain liberation. It has 18 chapters. Each chapter is called Yoga. The first chapter is called Vishada Yoga, chapter of grief. A person may attain liberation out of grief when his mind is very much disgusted with this world, it turns toward God. And the last chapter is called Moksha Yoga, chapter of liberation. The chapter 10 is called Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti means power. God's power manifests in everything, in every being. To see God in everything and every being is the culmination of Vedanta philosophy. If you see God in everything and every being, you cannot hate anybody. You will have to love. There is no other way. You will see your own self in everything and God in within yourself. That Krishna mentioned in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna was trying to lead Arjuna's mind to the Supreme Reality. First he was telling, whatever greatest manifestations you see in this world, in the cosmos, I exist there. But we don't see. Somebody asked Sri Ramakrishna, does God exist? He said, he exists, but you do not see, because you are not trained. You do not see stars at daytime. That does not mean that stars do not exist. You do not see butter in the milk, but that does not mean that butter does not exist. You will have to churn the milk. You will have to put the milk in cool place, and then before sunrise you will have to churn it. Fish is in the lake, but you do not see the fish. You will have to get information from the fishermen who fish there. They will tell you how to catch fish from that lake. Then with the fishing rod, you will have to go and sit there with your bait, with your line, and then gradually you will be able to catch the fish. You need patience. You need instruction from the other fishermen. Same thing in spiritual life. You need systematic disciplines. Verse 31. Pavana pavatamasmi rama shastra bhritam aham jhasanam makarashyasmi srutasam asmi jannavi. Of purifiers, I am the wind. Of warriors, I am Rama. Of fishes, I am the shark. And of rivers, I am the Ganges. As I told you, whenever Krishna says, I am this, I am that, there is a special meaning behind each word. Of purifiers, I am the wind. The wind purifies. Suppose you are cooking in your kitchen and that odor you see is all over the place. But if you turn on your exhaust fan, you will find that wind will take away that odor from the kitchen. the air has a purifying power. Second, she says, among the warriors, I am Rama. Why Rama? Why did he not say someone else? Because Arjuna must be familiar about Rama, the great incarnation of God, of the Ramayana, who killed the ten-headed demon Ravana. You see, as I told you many times, the Hindu epics and mythology are full of symbols. This ten-headed Ravana represents 10 senses. Arjuna conquered them. Rama conquered them and rescued Sita, the embodiment of purity, who was kidnapped by that demon. Rama represents the truth. Among the warriors, I am the Rama. Shastra Bhritamaham. There is a beautiful story in the Ramayana. Rama once knew that his wife was kidnapped by Ravana, who was in Sri Lanka, Ceylon. And he could not cross the ocean. You see, Sri Lanka is an island. So his followers, the monkeys and the bears, started to make a bridge so that they could go to Sri Lanka and rescue Sita. And they put the stones into the river, into the ocean, and they sunk. Then they were very unsuccessful. Then Rama said, well, I shall give a great lesson to the ocean god and make a bridge. He took his bow and arrow and about to shoot the ocean god. The ocean god came forward and said, why are you so mad at me, O Rama? Tell me, what can I do? Well, my followers are unable to make a bridge over the ocean, and I will have to rescue Sita. You please do something. The ocean god said, henceforth, your followers, whatever they would put on the ocean, it will float. Chanting the name of Rama, they started to throw stones, and these stones are floating, and a floating bridge was made over the ocean. You see, you may say, Swami, how shall we take this type of stories? The Hindus have tremendous faith in this respect, that everything is possible in the name of God. Anyhow, it is a story that power of Lord's name can change anything in this world, in life. Shastra Bhritam Aham, Jasanam Makaras Chasmi, among the fishes, I am the shark. You see, if Krishna would come to this country and if he would see the killer whale, you know, he would say, I am the killer whale. Or Sarutashamasmi Jannavi, among the rivers, I am the Ganges. Perhaps if Krishna would be here, he would say, I am Mississippi. Jannavi. Jannavi is another name of the Ganges. There is a story behind this name, Jannavi. There was a king named Sagar who wanted to be the king of gods. He wanted to be king of heaven. As a result, he had to perform 100 horse sacrifices. His sons guided the horse, and that horse was stolen by Indra. And he put it in the hermitage of a sage. And the sons of Sagara found that their horse was stolen, and they blamed the sage for stealing the horse. The sage said, I am innocent, I did not steal the horse. When the sons of Sagara blamed him, the fire came out from the eyes of the sage, and all the sons of Sagara were burnt into ashes. Then the great-grandson of Sagara was Bhagirath. He wanted to rescue his ancestors. He meditated on great god Vishnu. And Vishnu said, I can release the Ganges, which is in my water carrier. But who will with this, because the Ganges water will bring liberation to these, to his ancestors. So who can withstand the force of the Ganges? Shiva said, I will. He stood, and from heaven, that is Hindu mythology, from heaven the Ganges fell, and Shiva put it on his matted hair. And then Bhagirath asked him to release the Ganges, and gradually Ganges flowed over over India, and his son, his ancestors were liberated. But while the Ganges was flowing, what happened? It washed away the worship vessels of a sage named Jhunjhu. Then Bhagirath said, please release the mother Ganges. He simply took one handful of water and drank it as a river, whole river evaporated, because that river current took away his puja vessels, worship vessels. Then Bhagirath prayed to him, please release the Ganges. He said, you see, I cannot release the Ganges from any part of my body because it will be defiled. So he cut his thigh, Jhunjhu, his thigh, and released the Ganges from there. So the another name of Ganges is Jahnavi. You may see, Swami, this is a story. But this story was substantiated by a vision of Sri Ramakrishna. One day he had a dilemma whether Ganges is a myth, the purification power of Ganges is a myth or it is truth. One day, sitting at Dakshineshwar Kali temple, he saw a young man was blowing a conch, and the mother Ganges seated on an alligator was following that young man, and he saw on the surface of the Ganges. Then Sri Ramakrishna said, mother Ganges is true. Don't defile her water. She has tremendous purifying power. Among the water currents, I am Jahnavi. I am that pure Ganga. When Swami Vivekananda came to America, he brought a little water, Ganges water, and he used to drink time to time. You see, previously I would not believe all these things. Don't think that I always believe. I argued with the Swami. He said that before you sit for meditation, drink a little Ganges water. I said, why? Well, it will purify your body and mind. I argued. I said, well, I belong to a place where no ritual is performed. I tried to escape because I was in Advaita Ashrama, a pure non-dualistic place. No ritual, no worship. So he said, he became mad at me. He said, take a chunk of Ganges mud and dry it and put it into Calcutta with the tap water, and that water you drink. But I did not do it. Then after coming to this country, I started, you know, and here I do. Because the Ganges water is on the table, so I use it. So, you see, previously I was brought up, you know, like you people in school and college. Why? Why shall I do it? Swami Vivekananda argued with Sri Ramakrishna. Sir, you say if I eat the sanctified prasad, you know, I shall be pure. Why? I shall get bhakti. Why? I don't believe it. Sri Ramakrishna said, you don't believe it? No. Do you believe that if you eat some food which has a laxative effect on the body? Yes. So as food has an effect on the body, so this prasad, the sanctified food which is offered to the Lord, it has a purifying power. You believe the effect of an object on a human body? Yes, yes, I understand. Swamiji could not argue with Sri Ramakrishna further. He was, you know, he was nonplussed. He could not argue further. More. Nobody knows in which way it comes. One day Swami Vivekananda was going to see his holy mother in Calcutta. And he was crossing the Ganges by boat and he was drinking water from the Ganges several times. So his disciple asked, Swami, why are you drinking so much Ganges water? You see, I am purifying myself. The amount of purity necessary to see the mother, I don't have that purity. Mother means Sri Ramakrishna's wife, embodiment of purity. But I am going to see her before that I am purifying myself. Whether many things we do, we do not believe. But who knows in what way some virtue, some good feeling, some uplifting things may come to your life, nobody knows. Sarganam adihantasya madhyam chaivaham arjuna. Adhyatma vidya vidyanam vada prabodhata maham. I've created things, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle, O Arjuna. Of all senses, I am the sense of the self, and in disputation, I am reason. Sarganam, creation. I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end of all this cosmos, this creation. What does it mean? It means, the Upanishad says, Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti jat prayanta visambishanti tad vijignasasva tad brahmeti. From where this whole creation evolves, where it remains, and where it merges, that is Brahman, that is God. From bliss, this creation evolves. In bliss, it remains. In bliss, it merges. That bliss is God. Then we find in the Brahma Sutra, the first four aphorisms. Athato Brahma Jikasa. Now, let us inquire about Brahman. What is Brahman? Janmadhyasya Jataha. From where this whole creation evolves. That is Brahman. That is God. That is Source. How can I experience that Brahman? Shastra Jonitvat, it is described in the scriptures, the experiences of the seers of truth. Please tell us more about it. Shastra Tattu Samannat, all Upanishads unequivocally said about this Brahman, the real nature of human beings. You are Brahman, you are God, you are divine. So Krishna says, I am the beginning, I am the middle, I am the end. You see, this body passes through six changes. Mind passes through changes. But your consciousness, which was in the womb of your mother, that consciousness will remain all through your life. That consciousness never changes. That consciousness is the reality, that is you. Your body and mind is form. Are not real you. They evolve from nature and then go back to nature. A tremendous recycling process is going on in this whole universe. If you see from a higher standpoint, what is this body? It is made of food and drink and nothing but food and drink. This body will be destroyed if you don't feed this body. Who is preserving this body? Prana, energy. If one section of your body, if prana does not function in one section of your body, that section is paralyzed. If the blood circulation is not there, that is prana, is preserving this body. You see, the teachers of Vedanta analyzed every aspect of human life, human body, human mind, and found that all these things are continuously changing. Only one thing never changes. That is your consciousness. That is you. That is your reality. That is your real nature. Experience that consciousness. That consciousness, your consciousness, my consciousness, and others' consciousness, all consciousness are the same. You will experience Shutre Manigana Iva. As a thread penetrates all the pearls and made a pearl necklace. Similarly, all human beings are tied with that great garland, that great thread that is God. that pure consciousness, that is God, that is Krishna. We are all small pearls. We are all tied with a thread, and that thread is the common factor. Existence, consciousness, bliss, absolute, that is God, according to Vedanta. Then Krishna says, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, among the knowledge, various sciences, I am the spiritual science. You see, if you know chemistry, if you know physics, what will happen? You know chemistry, you know physics, you know mathematics, you know geography, you know literature. You cannot be one with it. But the knowledge of spirit, but spiritual knowledge, the moment you realize it, you experience it, you will be one with it. Brahma Veda, Brahma Iva Bhavati, Nuara Brahman becomes Brahman. There are two types of knowledge according to Vedanta, lower knowledge and higher knowledge. Lower knowledge is, read all these Vedas, Vedanta, Upanishad, other scriptures, mathematics, philosophy, physiology, anatomy, whatever knowledge you find, they are all lower knowledge. What is higher knowledge? Jayatad aksharam adhigamati, the knowledge which gives you, the higher knowledge is that knowledge which gives you the experience of oneness. I am one without a second. I am Brahman. That is higher knowledge. That knowledge brings liberation. Anyhow, Krishna says, I am that higher knowledge. I am that spiritual knowledge. Vada prabodhata maham, among the prabodhata, among and in disputation, I am reason. You see, there are three words, vada, jalpa, vitanda. Jalpa means, when they argue, you know, to their philosophical views, you see, theologians, when they argue, what do? They establish their own views and refute the views of the opponent. That is one way to argue. I am refuting you to establish my view. I want to defeat you through argument. That is called jalpa, J-A-L-P-A. Second type of disputation is called bitanda. Bitanda means, I am not trying to establish my view, I am just trying to show that how many defects in your view, in your argument are. That is called bitanda. And these logicians can point out 21 loopholes in your argument. What do you say? If you say this, then you have this defect. If you say this, you have this defect. If you do not say anything, then you have agreed with me. It means you are accepting my view. As I told you, one of my friends told me when I first came to the monastery, he said, you see, if you go forward, they will think that you are ambitious. The authority will think that you are ambitious, that you are trying to, you know, do a lot of things. And if you stay backward, they will think that you are a lazy fellow. You have come to the monastery. And if you neither go forward nor backward, they will think that you are stupid. So you see, if you go forward, you are in trouble. If you stay backward, you are in trouble. If you neither go forward nor backward, you are in trouble. So you just find out what you want to do. Terrible problem. My that friend is going to Japan. Next is bada. Bada. Bada means there is no rivalry, just with the view to ascertaining the truth, they are talking, they are arguing. Just like guru and disciple. The disciple is asking the question and the guru is answering the questions. So that is called vada, reason. Not with an open mind, you know, not that you know, I want to defeat you. You see, Presbyterian is better than Methodist, or Methodist is better than Baptist. or Hinduism is better than Christianity. This is not this type of fight. They want to know how to realize God. Tell me. This way, you know, the guru and disciple are talking and discussing. That way, they ascertain the truth. In the Vedanta Shara, we read, Adharopa Apavada Apavada Bhyam. The guru is trying to ascertain the truth, is to explaining the truth through superimposition and de-superimposition. The teacher will first tell you, look, you are the Atman, but you are covered by the five sheaths of the soul. Then he will remove that sheath one after another and he will show you that this is thou art that, you are Brahman. So this is the way they ascertain the truth. That is called badha, reasoning. Aksharanam akaroshmi dvanda samasikasya aham evakshaya kalo dhataham vishato mukha. Let me read one, Eknath's one comment, 249. Patanjali, the great teacher of meditation, I am talking about reason. Patanjali, the great teacher of meditation in ancient India, tells us to take the spiritual life so that we may realize who we are. To me, this is real education, not education for degrees, but education for living, which is a perfect description of meditation. Meditation enables us to find, right in the context of our daily lives, the answer to the most important question, who am I? We may know all about wines or skiing or even English literature, but until we learn who we really are, nothing else we learn or do can ever give us fulfillment, security, or peace of mind. The Lord is asking us here, before you try to learn everything else, why don't you give half an hour every morning to learning about yourself? In this verse, Sri Krishna does not try to impress us with terms like transcendental wisdom or the clear light within. He uses simple, chaste language, I am reason. Sometimes when I hear people discussing the possibility of intelligent life on other planets, I am inclined to ask, is there intelligent life on earth? Far from expecting an age of mysticism, I hope only for an age of reason, which is noticeably absent in most of our activities today. For example, how can we live in harmony with our family and friends if we persist in returning anger for anger? How can we bring about lasting peace by adding to the probability of nuclear holocaust? To live in the midst of conflict with peace in our hearts, transforming those around us through patience and forgiveness, requires enormous internal strength, which is gradually developed through the practice of meditation. Next, Krishna says, Aksharanam akaroshmi dvanda samasikasya cha aham evakshaya kala kalo dhataham vishato mukha. Of letters, I am the letter A, and of compound words, I am the dvanda. I myself am inexhaustible time, and I am the dispenser, facing everywhere. A is the first word of Sanskrit vowel. All consonants are tied with this first syllable A. For example, ka, kha, ga, gha, ya, cha, cha, ja, ja, ya, ta, tha. All these sparshavarna and ushmavarna, what are these consonants? All consonants are tied with that first syllable A. A sound is the basic sound in the alphabet. I remember my English teacher, that Scottish lady, used to say, Swami, consonants are the bones of speech and vowels are the life. She used to, her language is so beautiful, just very sonorous. Consonants are the bones of speech. Anyhow, Aksharanam akaroshmi, A is the first level. Among letters, I am A. Why did you say so? Christ says, I am the Alpha and Omega. We come from Him and we return to Him. Akarobai sarva pak saiva sparshishu sparsha usma vir majumana bhavi nanarupa bhavati iti. That sound, it vibrates in all letters. And that all letters, when they are are joined, they make words, they make sound, they make sentence. But O is the basic sound. So Krishna says, I am that basic sound. Samasikasya danda. Among compounds, I am dvanda, dual. You see, Sanskrit words, some words and words, word and word are compound, are mixed. They are called samas. And the sandhi, how can I explain the Sanskrit grammar? Sandhi means varna. When the vowel and consonant join together, that is called sandhi, joining the words. And when one word is combined with another word, is called samasa. For example, Rama is a word, Krishna is a word, Ramakrishna is one word, Ramakrishna. What does it mean? Ramaschasav Krishnascheti iti Ramakrishna. He who was Rama, he who was Krishna, in this very form is Ramakrishna. Two words, when they meet, they are called samas, compound. So Krishna says, I am Dvandva. Dvandva, let me give you another example. Jaya, jayu, victory and defeat, profit and gain, happiness and misery. All these words are called dvandva, two opposite things, pairs of opposites. Krishna says, I am the pairs of opposites. I bring harmony in everything. I combine everything. I unify everything in this universe. All discrepancies, all disharmony are harmonized by me. That is called dvandva. Aham eva akshaya kala. I am that infinite time. You cannot think anything without space, time and causation. Everything we think through time, past, present, future. Krishna says, I am the time. I am ever present. I remember when Swami Vivekananda was in California, he was late in his lecture. So he was half an hour late. He was walking through the dark street and Mr. Allen, who was the Swamiji's friend, who arranged that lecture. And the hall was full of audience, but Swamiji did not arrive in time. So he was coming out from the hall and watching the street, what was the matter, you know, he was worried about Swamiji. Then he saw that slowly he was coming through the dark street. Then he said, Swamiji, then he saw a shoe shiner on the street. So Swamiji started to shine his shoe. And Mr. Allen was so upset. And he said, Swamiji, people are waiting for you. Let them wait. You are late. No, Mr. Allen, I am never late in my life. I exist eternally. It is good for you, but the audience is upset. You may feel that way, Swamiji, that you are the Atman, you are ever present, ever existent, you know. But the audience is upset. Please come. No. They will wait. Let me shine my shoes. So he was. Oof, Swami. You see, purposely this Swamiji wanted to give a lesson to those people. He wanted to check that how much love, how much yearning, longing these people have, whether they can wait or not, I want to test. He did it purposely. It is my interpretation. I do not know what was in Swamiji's mind, but that was my interpretation. He wanted to test the sincerity of those people. You see, yogis are strange. But they are nice people. They will not be. Eknath wrote a beautiful commentary about it. In this connection, there is a good story about Dr. Albert Einstein, probably apocryphal, as a great many of these stories are, which tells how this delightful man of genius had to sit through a talk which seemed to have no direction and no end. Einstein was a very patient man, but after some time of this, he began to shift uneasily from side to side and looked down at his hands. Finally, he leaned over and whispered to a friend sitting next to him, "I have discovered only relativity. This fellow has discovered eternity." Very funny. I have discovered only relativity with this fellow. Sometimes we notice that there are some speakers, you know, they don't like to stop. They go beyond time. I remember here, when Swami Sat Prakashananda passed away, we had an inter-religious conference. And Houston Smith was presiding. And I was seated there. And everybody is supposed to speak into 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, he would give a slip, you know, a paper would put, "Manasi, your time is over, please finish it." So Swami Shraddhanandaji was speaking. I think he went to 20 minutes. So Houston was looking at me, "Swami, he gave the slip to me. Swami, I cannot give it to you, Swami." So I said to Houston, "Oh no, I whispered to him, "You please give to him." Then when he put the slip in Swami Shraddhananda, he is so smart. He said, "Oh, you want me to start my lecture again or what?" "Man, you want me to continue?" He was so smart. You want me to start again?" Something he made a remark. Anyhow, the practical application here is that eternity is within the reach of every one of us, but gradually, learning to still the mind through the practice of meditation, we can learn to live in the eternal now. Then we can enjoy not only what we like, but what we dislike as well. More than that, as we begin to live more and more in the present, we make the accelerating discovery that past and future exist only in our minds. It is a tremendous realization, for it means that we are released from any burden of guilt about the past and any anxiety about the future. We think that past and future are real because we keep brooding over what we have done and what others have done to us, and what we will do and what others will do to us. But it is not past and future that are real. It is our brooding on the past and future that is real. If we could withdraw our attention from these will-o'-the-wisps, many of our problems would simply dissolve. Many years ago, he continued, I stayed at the home of an hospitable woman in Bay Area who happened to believe in ghosts. Her home had a beautiful view which took in a cemetery nearby. And though she was very fond of me, nothing I could say could convince her that ghosts from that cemetery did not pay her visits at unlikely times. So one day I announced casually that I was going for a walk in the cemetery to meet one of these ghosts myself. When I returned, she was, wringing her hands. "Did you see any ghosts?" she asked anxiously. "Oh yes," I said, "three." What did you do?" I told them that you were too nice a woman to be living in fear all the time, and that they should go away and leave you alone. "And what did they say?" "They said we can't. As long as she believes in us, we have to stay." If you believe in ghost, the ghost will stay with you. It's funny, when I was in Los Angeles, I got a telephone call. One lady was asking that, "There are some spooks in my room. Could you tell me a mantra so that I can, throw away this ghost, this spook from my room?" I said, "Repeat Rama." "Well, that is a very simple mantra. Can you not give a difficult one?" "Well, that mantra is very simple, I think it will not go. I do not know any difficult mantra. My mantras are very simple." Then I was telling to my friends, if the ghost is a Hindu, then he will go away. But if a Christian ghost or a Mohammedan ghost, they will not go. because they don't understand this Ram mantra, I used to get so many interesting calls, Ahamevo akshayo kala. I am the eternal time. I exist. I am ever present. Past, present, future, all time are in me. Dhata aham vishvato mukha. I am the creator, dhata, preserver of this universe. All multifaceted, Lord. There is a beautiful mantra which we shall learn in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvato pani padam tat sarvato kshishiro mukham sarvato shruti mallahu ki sarvam avrita tishthati. His hands and feet are everywhere. His heads, his eyes, his ears are everywhere. Sarvato shruti mallahu ki sarva, and he encompassed the whole cosmos. He is in everything, he is in everything. That is God. That is called cosmic God. Vishvato mukham, whatever faces you see, all are masks of God. Same God within is coming through different faces. Mrittu sarvaharashaham udhavasya bhavishyatam kirtir sri vakcha narinam smritir medha dhritikshama. I am all-seizing death. I am the prosperity of those who are to be prosperous. And of female powers, I am glory, fortune, speech, memory, intelligence, constancy, and forbearance. Mrittu sarvaharasya, I am death. Don't think God is only life. He is life, he is death. Sarvahara, he takes away everything, body. He takes away all wealth. He absorbs everything. Mrittu. There is a beautiful story about the origin of death in the Mahabharata, Shantivardham. Brahma created the whole universe, and there was a heavy population, the people are not dying. Could you imagine what happened? The whole earth became heavy. So the mother universe went to God and to the creator and said, "I cannot bear such heavy burden. Please relieve me. I am going to sink into the ocean." Brahma said, "What to do? Those human beings, the population, they are my children. I cannot kill them." "Well, you will have to do something. You see, the God was in trouble, Brahma. He was deeply thinking, but he could not find out any solution. So because he could not find any solution, he became so angry that from his anger, the blazing fire came and just started to burn the whole creation. Shiva, the great God, came to Brahma, the creator, and said, Lord, these human beings are your children. You should not destroy them. Brahma said, you know, I love them, but I could not find any solution. The whole universe is going to sink. You know, the whole earth is going to sink into the ocean. Just she came and complained, and I could not find any solution. Then please, you absorb your anger. When he absorbed the anger inside himself, then a fume came out from his body and took a form, and that form is death. So, creator said, you death, you know, you now go and destroy some beings. Death said, I can't, because they did not do any harm to me. How can I kill them? How can I destroy them? Well, you will have to do it. No, I shall not obey you. Though you are my father, I shall not obey you. Well, I am taking your responsibility. Well, no, I cannot take away the life of the innocent people. So they have father, and Mrityu is a female form. So they had an argument. Well, all right, I don't like to disrupt your mental peace. I am going and practicing tapasya. So she went and practiced austerity for many years. Brahma came to him and said, could you find any solution? No. Please obey me. No, I cannot obey you. So she started to cry. Then you see, let me tell you a solution. I shall create desire, anger, various kinds of bad tendencies in human mind, and gradually they will get disease. If you harbor bad tendencies, you will get disease, and that disease will kill them, and you will be only an instrument. You will not have to do anything. Oh no, I cannot do that. So that Mrityu, the death, started to cry. From his, he held those tears with her hand. Then Brahma said, those tears are various kinds of disease ailments. I am going to spread among human beings. The disease will kill those human beings, and you please take care of that department. So at last she agreed. That is the origin of death. You see, the Hindus have so many fantastic stories about everything. But it is true, you see, birth and death are inevitable. If you are born, you will have to die. But all human beings want immortality. Nobody wants to die. And that immortality comes from self-knowledge. If you know yourself, there is no more death for you. But what do you mean, Swami? You will transcend the body idea. Body was born, this body will die. All human bodies in this world will die either today or tomorrow. But if you experience the self, the Atman, you will conquer death. That is the one of the main aspects of Vedanta philosophy. How to conquer death? How to attain immortality? You will have to transcend the body idea. You will have to experience the self. Mrityu sarvaharascha udbhavascha bhavishyatam. I am the prosperity. I am the action. Holding this action, people grow. Among female powers, I am glory, fortune, etc. Seven most exalted female deities. You see, these qualities ennoble a soul. They enhance beauty, physical as well as inner beauty. Kirti. Kirti means fame. Glory. People attain glory by action. There are some people, Swamiji used to say quite often, people are born in this world like mushroom, they die like mushroom, they are worms. When you are born, keep a mark in this world that you are born. Who are those people? The people who sacrifice most in this society. Your sacrifice will make you great. Christ is worshipped by millions and millions of people all over the world. Why? Because of his sacrifice. Sacrifice makes a person great. Self-effacement makes a person great. So Kirti. Kirti means fame, glory. Krishna says, I am the fame, I am glory. Shri. Shri means beauty. Physical as well as inner beauty. Shri means fortune. Shri is another name of the goddess of fortune. You see, there are some people you will find, they may not be very beautiful physically, but their eyes, their face are so calm, quiet, serene, tranquil, full of love, full of compassion, full of sympathy. That person may not be physically very beautiful. But we have seen some faces like that. That is called Shri. That comes out from within. Then Vak. Vak means speech. Krishna says, another name of the goddess of learning. I am the goddess of learning. Smriti. Smriti means memory. Whatever you have learned, you must remember. We forget. I heard a funny story. Nowadays the doctors give painkiller. That pill is so powerful, it will knock out all of your pain. But it has a little side effect. What is the side effect? That you will be so much depressed that you will try to commit suicide. But it has another side effect. What is that? This painkiller is so powerful that you will lose your memory, you will forget how to commit suicide even. That is called memory, you see. Memory, we think, you know. When I heard it, I was laughing. Memory means the recollectedness, power of retention. There are some people, they have more power to retain the teaching of the teacher than others. Smriti, Medha. Medha means intelligence, grasping power. You see, before we take our final vows, we have to repeat 4-5 mantras on Medha. We pray, O Medha Devi, O goddess of intellect, please make my intellect strong so that I may not forget the teachings of my teacher. I may not forget my vows in my life. We have to take some mantra. Brahma me tumam. I am not supposed to repeat those mantras. That is metta. Then dhriti. Dhriti means fortitude. Tremendous fortitude. That man mentioned loyalty. Loyalty is just, actually, dhriti means power of forbearance, power of fortitude. That is called dhriti. Kshama. Kshama means forgiveness. So Krishna says all these divine qualities, they represent, you know, they are all in feminine form, Narinam. Each one is a feminine deity. So I am in all these qualities. When he made a remark about fortitude, When I first came to this country, everybody was talking about freedom between men and women. The idea was that if you came together freely, you are always free to walk out. This was supposed to be a complete safeguard against unhappy relationships. When my friends would talk this way, I used to answer, "Oh, yes, you are free to walk out of such a relationship. There is no obligation. There are no bonds. There are not even any ties. But what happens if you go on doing this? If you go on doing this, is that you never acquire the capacity to love. Loyalty is the quintessence of love. When two people tell each other, as long as you do what I like, I will stay with you. But as soon as you start doing things I don't like, I am packing my bags. To me, that is not love. That is indifference. Loving somebody means that even when they trouble you, you don't let yourself be shaken. Even when they are harsh to you, you don't move away. Even when they make a mistake that hurts you, you don't go off and make the same kind of mistake to hurt them. All of us are so liable to human error that unless we have some capacity to bear with the errors of others, we will not be able to maintain a lasting relationship with anybody, which is the tragic situation that many people find themselves in today." All right, you can ask me questions. Brahma and Brahman are two different things. Brahman, according to Vedanta, is the ultimate reality, vastness, formless, without qualities. That is called Brahman. And that Brahman, when it is associated with Maya, with cosmic power, is called Ishvara. That is God. And Brahma is from the mythological standpoint, the Brahma, Vishnu, Mahishvara, these are the Trinity according to Hindu mythology, Hindu religious system. You know, as you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, like that, I have the Trinity. Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the preserver, and Shiva is the destroyer.